This is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show.
Your chest does not feel good, okay? So if your chest doesn't feel good, no matter how you describe that symptom, burning, crushing, sharp, whatever, however you describe it, you shouldn't have symptoms in your chest like that. Okay. So that's common sense. Are you supposed to have that in your chest?
No.
Okay, so you're going to need to go and have it checked. Now, you may make it all the way to the emergency room, and they'll take you back there. If you're having those kinds of symptoms, they may take you back there and do a workup on you to make sure it's not your heart. And they'll say, oh, no, Ms. Johnson, that's not your heart. That's just indigestion. What did you eat last night? Or something like that. I would rather them tell me, oh, no, it's just indigestion, than for them to tell me, oh, Ms. Johnson, you're having a heart attack. Okay, so it's better to be safe than sorry, okay?
And that's one of the last things we want to do is to go to the emergency room.
Right, right. And we're going to talk about that emergency room a little later on, too. But anyway, signs and symptoms. The heart attack used to be once considered a men's disease, because we'd always hear about men having a heart attack.
Yes.
But now we know that heart disease in women has different symptoms from men, which we have already talked about. Okay, we know that now from studies. People have done studies on women who have found, you know, to have had a heart attack. And what kind of symptoms did you have, you know? And then they record that, and that's what our literature tells us. Women's bodies are made up of predominantly different hormones, and they have more fat than men. Women's bodies have more fat than men.
Oh, okay.
Even a skinny lady, or I shouldn't say skinny, that's not a real nice word. Even a thin woman is a woman. She has more fat on her body than a thin man, okay? Oh, so women have more fat. So that's why we experience pain and discomfort differently from men.
Oh, okay.
We perceive pain differently. We have different hormones, and we have more fat. They have more muscle. When you have pain in a muscle, it feels differently from that of pain just in your body anywhere. Okay. So, and men are more muscular, so they perceive pain differently from women. Okay. So having chest pain is the most common. But however, we said that women don't typically have that chest pain.
Right, right.
You can have that chest pain, and you might think it's indigestion because it burns. Sometimes when people are having a heart attack, it burns inside the chest. And they think it's indigestion, and they're taking all this Tums and
Pepto-Bismol
and, you know, taking all of that, just chugging it down. But it's actually a heart attack going on, okay? So you need to watch it, especially if you know you are at risk.
Predisposed.
Right? Yeah.
Okay, goodness. So
let's look at women. Let's look at women in particular. What kinds of signs and symptoms do they have? One of the major symptoms that is most ignored by women is fatigue. Just a sudden or progressively worsening tiredness, like just an abnormal tiredness, like you just can't get up. Feels like you're having to take a deep breath all the time, and you just can't go. And this is different from what you normally feel. Okay, so think about that, women. Think about that. Fatigue means excessively tired. Mm-hmm. Right, so that's one that women have described after having had a heart attack. That's what they remember. Another important and common symptom is nausea. Women become nauseated when they have a heart attack, much more than men. Men can have nausea too,
right.
But in women, it's more. It's more in women that they have nausea with a heart attack. So two things that you think is not related to your heart: fatigue. Well, that's not my heart. That's just me tired. Nausea. That's not my heart. That's just me feeling sick. Must be something I ate.
My sinuses are acting up.
All my sinuses are acting up. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We all have sinuses. So those two things, that's different for women. So that's why this conversation is important, because we need to know those symptoms. You need to have them checked. So that's fatigue, nausea. Sometimes with that nausea, we have vomiting, throwing up. Throwing up is never, ever, ever okay, right? Throwing up, vomiting is never, ever, ever okay. When you start vomiting, you need to go
it's
have
crucial.
A check.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Vomiting is a sign. Always remember, vomiting is a sign that something is wrong. You can have an ulcer. It'll make you vomit. You can have gallbladder problems. It can make you vomit. You can have a migraine headache. It can make you vomit. You can be having a heart attack, and mm-hmm. it can make you vomit. So you need to be concerned. If you're vomiting and you know you have some risk factors, you need to be concerned. Okay? So we said fatigue, nausea, vomiting, sometimes dizziness. You may feel a little dizzy when you're having a heart attack in women. Men typically don't talk about dizziness,
mm-hmm.
but women do. Women talk about feeling dizzy, okay? So that's another thing to remember. Sometimes women break out in cold sweats. Now, when women go through menopause, they break out in cold sweats. Every hour, you break out in a cold sweat. You just start sweating for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
You just break out, okay? We call it hot flushes or mm-hmm. hot flashes, okay? But if you know you're not in menopause and you break out in a cold sweat, you might need to have things checked, especially if you have risk factors.
Right.
Okay? And last of all, shortness of breath. Many women have described the symptoms when they were having their heart attack is they couldn't catch their breath. They just couldn't breathe. They were having a hard time getting, you know, they felt like they just couldn't catch their breath. So that's shortness of breath. Or winded. Some people call it winded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, let me tell you about windedness, shortness of breath, can't catch your breath, whatever you want to call it. Whenever that happens to a person, whether you have risk factors or not, you could be the healthiest person in the world. If something is causing you to not be able to catch your breath, you need to call 911 and get straight to the emergency room. Okay. Whether it's a heart attack or not. Okay, because not being able to catch your breath, that means something is interfering with your lungs.
Absolutely.
So if something is interfering with your lungs, how are we going to get oxygen in the body to get to the heart?
Oh, my.
So that's not a good thing. So anytime you feel short of breath and you know it's not your asthma attack, you know, it could be pneumonia. Pneumonia can kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Pneumonia can kill you. So if you feel short of breath for any reason, call 911 and get to the ER. Because God forbid, if you are having a heart attack, that may be the only symptom that you had. Okay? So you need to be in the ER. Okay? Getting checked out. All right. And the reason why I keep saying call 911 is because we all have a tendency to wait for somebody to come home. I'm waiting on my daughter. You know, I'm waiting for my son. You're always waiting. The more you wait, what happens to the heart muscle?
It's dying.
Right. Correct. Heart muscle is dying. The longer you wait. And they like for you to get to that emergency room within an hour
of the symptoms.
So if you start feeling short of breath at 9 to 10 after 9 in the morning, you just started feeling short of breath, a little nausea. You don't know what's going on. You feel, maybe it was something I ate for breakfast or whatever. Within that hour, you need to have that checked out, okay? So remember that. They like for you to have it. If you can get to the hospital within an hour of having any kind of symptom, you're much better off. You can save your life. The longer you wait, the worse your heart gets. The worse your heart gets, the sicker you are. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there are your signs and symptoms, specifically for women.
And, you know, and listening to the signs and the symptoms, you know, it sounds like it could be so many other things, too.
Yes. Okay, that's the reason. That's the reason why we have to know what the signs and symptoms of having a heart attack is.
Yes.
Because it mimics everything. Just like I said, if you have nausea and vomiting, it could be gallbladder.
Right.
And if you had gallbladder before and you remember how nauseated you were, you know, 10 years ago, and you're thinking, oh my God, I'm having gallbladder problems again, you know, but it may not be. It may be your heart this time, okay? So that's the mimicking is important. Shortness of breath, you might be having asthma or you might have pneumonia, but it also could be a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
Which is worse? Pneumonia, asthma, or a heart attack?
A heart attack, of course.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't just keep putting it off. That's why the topic, again, I've said it already two times, but this topic is important because we think, and we might feel dizzy, and we might say, oh my gosh, I just got up too fast.
Yes.
Well, dizziness could be a sign of having a heart attack, too. So don't, you know, start thinking. Put your thinking cap on and monitor yourself. This dizziness feeling is just not going away. It's been 30 minutes now. I think I better call 911, get myself to the emergency room, and at least get it checked.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. We need to change our thinking on...
Yes.
A lot of this, we need to change our thinking. And I'm speaking personally because, you know, I am one of those people. I will put things off concerning myself, my own health, until the very last minute.
Yes.
Because I'll diagnose myself and then I'll say, well, oh, it can wait. And in the meantime, something really tragic could be happening.
Yes, you know, absolutely. And we're all guilty of that.
Mm-hmm.
We're all guilty of that. We self-diagnose, especially those of us in the healthcare profession. That's what
yes.
we do. No, we don't feel like going to the doctor. We look at them all day at work. What do you want to go to them for?
So we self-diagnose
ourselves. But we need to be more vigilant.
More vigilant.
More cognizant. We need to be more self-aware of these symptoms and things.
Absolutely. Well, how often do you think we should ask our physician to check our cardiac labs?
Okay. So, how do you know you are having heart disease? Okay. One of the things, if you know the risk factors, you know the risk factors now,
mm-hmm.
so you can start thinking, I wonder, and my mama or my grandma, you know, had heart disease, had heart problems, even if nobody in your family had it, but you have the risk factors. Well,
mm-hmm.
I know I'm overweight, I know I have diabetes. Okay, if you know that, you should make an appointment to go to your doctor and say, hey, I know that I have these risk factors. I want to know if I'm at risk for heart disease or if I have heart disease. Okay, so that's the first thing you could do. Don't be afraid to ask your doctor to check you for heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know if
right.
you have heart disease. And you can tell them, well, as far as I know, doc, no one has ever checked me for heart disease, and I really want to know if I have any, you know, any problems that could be leading to heart disease or if I have heart disease. Ask your doctor, okay? Now, what they would do when you go to them, they will run some blood work to check all of your cholesterol levels. Remember, cholesterol is a fat. It's a fatty substance that when we have too much in our bodies, it clogs up the what?
The arteries.
The arteries. That's right. And blood can flow through freely. Okay. So good. So we want to get that checked. Our cholesterol levels, and that's what we call a lipid panel. They check all the fatty things in your body. They check that through your blood work. Okay. Mm-hmm. In other words, they're checking how much fat is in your blood. Mm-hmm. That's basically what it is. And some other things like your electrolytes is important for your heart, very important for your heart. Your electrolytes, so they will guess your potassium, your sodium, your phosphorus, your magnesium, all of those things. They will check all of those. Okay, that's when they draw blood from you. Mm-hmm. And then they'll do an EKG. They will do an electrocardiogram to see if your heart is beating on time and not skipping beats. And also, when they do an electrocardiogram, they also can tell if you've actually had a heart attack before by doing electrocardiogram. So that's another thing they'll look at. And then the other thing, which is the first thing they will do, is not draw blood, but the first thing they'll do is ask you a bunch of questions. Mm-hmm. Like, have you had this symptom? Have you ever had this? Have you ever had that? They'll ask you a bunch of things. And then they'll start asking you about your family. They'll ask you, has anyone in your family ever had heart disease or died of a heart attack or had a heart attack? They will ask you all those questions. So it's good to find out what people died from in your family. Some people don't know. They just know Meemaw died and, you know, they went to the funeral. They don't know what she died of. But it's good to know what they died from so that you can be focusing in on things that you may be predisposed to. Mm-hmm. Okay? So those are some of the things that the doctor will check for you to see if you actually have heart disease. And if you do, if they find things wrong, once they run all of those tests, then they'll tell you, yes, you're at risk. You have heart disease. So you are at risk for having a heart attack. And then they're going to ask you. They'll ask you. You know, well, do you know the symptoms of a heart attack? And you're going to say, why, yes, of course. I listened to Ms. Johnson, and now I know the symptoms.
Oh,
but yes, so it is important to know things before you go to the doctor, okay?
Absolutely.
It's good to listen to dialogue, listen to people talking about your symptoms and things of that nature. So when you go to the doctor, you're more knowledgeable.
Right.
You know
right.
a little bit more. Okay.
Right.
And another thing about going to the doctor, well, BJ asked, how often should you go? Well, everyone should regularly have yearly checkups anyway. That's the normal thing. Have a yearly checkup. You always should go to your doctor. If you haven't been in a year, then there could be many things wrong with you that you're not aware of. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So yearly you should go to get checked up. Now, if in fact they find that you do have heart disease, then they will tell you when to come in. If they find that you have diabetes, they will have you come in every 3 months to get your hemoglobin A1C check, which is a test to see how well you're doing with your controlling your blood glucose, okay, which is your blood sugar. So they will let you know how often you should come, but you on your own, you should make an appointment to your healthcare provider at least once a year.
Once a year.
Right. And if you start having symptoms, then you're going to go much more. Mm-hmm. Or if the doctor finds that you do, in fact, have heart disease, they will ask you to come in more often, twice a year or something like that. Okay. Another thing about, I mentioned, don't be afraid to ask your doctor about checking you for heart disease. Also, you want to make sure that you're going to a doctor that can really explain things to you and can sit down and talk with you. Because some doctors, and I'm not trying to talk bad about doctors, but some doctors go too fast. And
they
tell us things not in our language, like that we can understand.
Right.
Okay. And I'm a nurse and have to work alongside doctors, so I know they go fast, and the patient is left looking like, what? What did he say?
And well, a lot of people are.
Yeah.
A lot
so,
of. No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say a lot of people are afraid to talk candidly with their doctors.
Absolutely. So,
and
yeah.
they don't know, they think they don't know the right questions to ask, but a good idea before you go to your doctor is to write your questions down so that you won't miss it. That's what I do.
Yes.
I write my questions down so that I won't miss anything. And, you know, if I need my doctor to explain something to me that I'm not understanding, well, I'll just ask him, you know, if he'll tell me in simple terms so that I can understand. And he always does.
Yes. But that's exactly what I was going to say, that when you ask a question, you can tell them, well, can you break that down for me?
Right.
Or can you explain it a little simpler or something like that? Mm-hmm. Because they will tend to use their medical jargon or their medical terminology. And that's just not how we talk every day. So nobody knows what they're talking about.
Right.
So we have to ask them. We actually have to
and
ask.
Please don't ever be afraid to ask your doctor, because there's no need going to the doctor if you're not going to ask him everything or tell him everything that's going on with you. It's just no need going. And, you know, some of us do that. And I was bad about that myself at one time, but I learned better, you know, because you don't need to be there if nothing is wrong. So it's just a good idea to
ask your questions.
Do that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes. And just write, like you said, write them down. That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Write your questions down, because a lot of times when we get to the doctor,
you forget.
Forget, like, what am I here for? Why did I even come? But
that's exactly right.
And going to the doctor can be very intimidating for some people. So we want you to get away from that. And a lot of times it's nice if you can find a doctor who is more knowledgeable about helping people of their own race.
Right.
That's something to think about too, and mm-hmm. how to talk to them and how to help them to understand. So
mm-hmm.
you can look for doctors and ask people, you know, who would they recommend, a doctor that is culturally competent.
Mm-hmm.
That means a doctor that understands your culture, knows how we like to eat, and, you know, you can't just tell a person of a particular culture, well, you can't eat that, or you can't eat that, you can't do that. Doctors, you know, that's going to fall on deaf ears.
Right.
So you have to find a doctor that's willing to help you.
Right.
Willing to sit with you and tell you what you can do.
And
a lot of things that you can do to help yourself.
That's
okay?
So right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, how do you think the coronavirus has impacted ER visits for individuals who experience signs and symptoms of heart disease?
Okay, this is an absolutely important question, because as I was perusing the literature, I found that there have been studies done on emergency departments or ERs and what the patients are presenting to the ER with, okay? And that's been going on for years, those studies. You know,
mm-hmm.
in 2018, they did a study on what was the most common thing that people came to the ER with, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, 2019. And then when we got to 2020, those studies were done, you know, like they had regularly been doing, and they found that all of the things and symptoms that people had been going to the emergency department with during this COVID time, people were not going. So that's sad. That's sad because a lot of people used to have to go to the emergency room if they were having chest pain.
Right.
Or some other symptom, that vomiting, nausea, you know, some symptom they had to call 911 and be taken to the emergency room. Well, people are not calling 911 now because nobody wants to go to the emergency room because COVID. Coronavirus is there.
Right.
Okay, so that's sad. So what has happened because of that, the morbidity and mortality rates of heart disease have gone up.
Right.
That means that more people have died. That's what mortality is.
Mm-hmm.
More people have died because of heart disease, because they wouldn't go to the ER.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to get corona.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So stay home and just kind of wait and hope that it's going to go away, and they end up, it's too late, when they do get to the ER, it's just too late. Okay. Oh, so that's, yeah, that's what we know about the ER. So when I read that, I said, oh, that's pretty bad. You know, I didn't realize it was to the extent that it actually is, that people are just not going to the ER. Mm-hmm. But I think now, and this was done for 2020, the studies that I read about were done in April and May of 2020. And see, that's when we first started. Mm-hmm. Going on lockdown and everything. That's when we first started worrying about it. And now people have got a little bit more braver, and, you know, more people are starting to go, and, you know, because people realize now that the ER staff, doctors, nurses, and workers of the emergency departments, they're doing everything that they can to prevent any spread of the disease.
Right.
And they're working really, really hard to keep everybody very safe. I know that for a fact. So you can go to the emergency room. They're not going to put you next door to a person that has COVID. You know, they're going to put you on another wing or something like that. But you can call 911 and have your symptoms looked at. So that's how COVID has had an impact on heart disease among people, not just women, but everybody. So just remember, the mortality rate went up during 2020 for people with heart disease, and the morbidity. And morbidity is how sick you are, how sick people are after a disease or illness, how sick they are. So both of those, the sicknesses got worse and the death rate got worse. So
and it's you know, I would just say that it's really important. I know it's still scary. Even though people tell us it's safe, it's still scary.
It's still scary,
You know, to go to the emergency room, because that, you know, from what we see on TV, the news, and, you know, the ER is impacted greatly by coronavirus victims.
Right.
And, you know, and so it's, you know, you want to stay away from that. But, you know, by the same token, if you're, like you said, if you're having chest pains, if you're having implications of something happening, then just, you know, keep praying and go on to the emergency room and get yourself checked out, because it would be better than, you know, losing your life when you can just go on to the emergency room.
And remember, call 911.
Call 911.
Don't have someone drive you, because something could happen on the way, which has happened. It's actually happened in our family. So we want to remember, call 911 and have the ambulance take you so that they can treat you on your way.
Right, that's it.
Because if something happens in the car on your way,
nothing you can do.
It's nothing nobody can do. And it's going to make the driver drive even more erratically because they're so scared. Mm-hmm. So, you know. So, yeah, we have to remember that. Nobody wants to wait on an ambulance, because it takes them about 5 minutes to get there. And that 5 minutes feels like an hour when you're in severe pain. So that's why nobody likes to call 911, but you have to.
Yes.
And one more thing that I didn't mention, I don't think I did, I don't remember saying it, that another symptom that women have in particular is pain in the jaw. I might have said that. But pain in the jaw, and some women have reported it as they thought they were having a toothache.
Okay.
It turned out that pain was actually related to their heart, and the pain just radiated to their jaw.
Oh,
so that's another important thing to remember. Yeah, in their neck or in the jaw, in the jawbone, going up the neck. Yeah.
Oh, my. I tell you, this has been a very, very interesting, and it's a real eye-opener to get all of this information on heart disease among women. And Mrs. Johnson, I would like to just thank you so very much for informing us and for being with us today. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're quite welcome. It was my pleasure.
Thanks again. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
knew us a long time ago. He loved us enough to allow us to be born. He loved us enough to allow Jesus to come. Jesus loved us enough to die for us. It would be a disservice.